You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now he's making room. He gets to the 50. He gets to midfield. He gets to the 40. What an athletic display by Trey Ford.
He's magic. He is the magic man of the Canadian Football League right now.
He's got a line to the net. He'll come in. The shot scores! Darnell Nurse!
Edmonton's home for great stories, local heroes, and everything you need on the Oilers and Elks. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins, brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
Rangers 4, Capitals 2. They have played two periods in that game, so the Rangers looking good to go up 2-0 in the best of seven. Lightning and Panthers 2-2 with 8 minutes left in the second period. Coming up in about half an hour, it is the Avalanche and the Jets. And then in about an hour, the Canucks and the Predators. Thatcher Demko will not play goal for the Vancouver Canucks. He is day-to-day with an injury. Blue Jays tonight, leading the Royals 1-0 in the top of the fifth. NBA playoffs, Suns up 51-50. That's a Van Halen album, by the way. Up 51-50 on the Timberwolves at halftime. Pacers lead the Bucks 30-26 early in the second quarter. Later, Mavericks and Clippers. Can we play some tracks off 51-50 all night now, Jeff?
I would love to do that. I'll see if I can track some down for you.
Oh,
here,
I think YouTube will have them.
I think we'll be able to figure it out.
I think YouTube will have. I may have a cassette of 5150 in my desk.
I don't have that one. Yeah, but if you bring the tape in here, I'm sure I can hook something up here. We got a tape deck in here.
We'll just fire up the old cassette. All right, that's the scoreboard for Cougar Painted Collision. Our family helping your family for 40 years. When I worked in Lloydminster, my extension on my phone in the sports department was 5150. And I told my buddy Chris, who's a big Van Halen fan, and I think he peed himself just a little bit. He was so excited. Anyway, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. I am happy to hear from you. We can discuss your impressions of the Oilers in Game 1, your thoughts going into the second game. On Friday night on the show, we had text messages about how confident you were on a scale of 1 to 10 on the Oilers winning the series, with 1 being not at all confident, and 10 being so confident you had no doubt they were going to win. We had a lot of pretty confident people. We had a lot of 8s, 9s, and 10s. We had a couple 9.7s in honor of Connor McDavid. I would think that confidence level has increased given the performance last night, but we'll find out as we move along throughout the show. I was just saying to Bob, and Rob and I talked about it last night too, really impressed with how the Oilers came out and asserted themselves in that game. Physicality, intelligent play, certainly the skill going to work. Fogle had that great chance early in the game. McDavid and Henrique and Hyman were excellent, and I actually thought LA was a little fortunate to get out of that game, out of that first period, down just 2-0. Now, of course, they fought back enough to make it semi-interesting, but I think for the most part, the Oilers were clearly the better team and clearly in control, which is nice to say because we're talking about an Oilers Game 1 victory for only the second time in the McDavid-Draisaitl era. The last time it happened was in the second round in 2017 on the road. They won games 1 and 2 against the Ducks. Corey Perry and the Ducks, of course, were not able to win that series. So a pretty good performance. And today, defenseman Mattias Ekholm was asked how closely the Oilers were able to stick to their game plan.
Close, I thought. I liked the way we played. I liked the way we attacked. We came off in the first. I thought we dominated. I thought we had most of the play. Played the way we wanted to. Really liked the way we came out in the second, too, to be honest with you. And then maybe let off a little bit of the gas and the later stages of the second, but the way we came out in the third again, obviously we got the power plays, but we also came out with the mindset of earning it, of going for it, not sitting back. So I really enjoyed that part of it, and yeah, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good game.
Yeah, they went out. I like how he put that. They went out there with the mindset of going for it and not sitting back. But I also think they did it in an intelligent way. I mean, it's one thing to go out there and say, we're going to go for it, we're going to go for it, we're going to go for it. But that could lead to gambling and maybe silly decisions and maybe expending too much energy early in the games. And Strudwick was on with me last night on the Faceoff show, and we talked about that as well. It's exciting. You get out there, the crowd's pumped up, and you want to go out there and try to run somebody through the back wall in your first shift, and you think you're going to get two or three goals and have a big lead, and you're just going to rock and roll, and you're so excited early, there's nothing left later in the game. Well, the Oilers were pretty good and pretty energetic and pretty smart and pretty skilled for this first 30 minutes of the game last night. I mean, it wasn't just, okay, everybody had a good shift, and then, oh, now what do we do? Oh, we got to keep playing? But we just spent all that energy on the first couple of shifts. So, again, I just think it was a very good performance. They looked mature. They looked focused, but they didn't look overhyped. They didn't look like they were wasting a lot of energy. And quite frankly, they were the more disciplined team as well, which we're going to start to talk about as we move along this evening as well. Evander Kane commented on the Oilers' start to the game yesterday.
I think we came up with a lot of good energy. I thought guys were controlled but hard, and you know, we obviously got off to a 2-0 lead there in the first period, and 4-0 partway through the second. And you know, I think we, you know, if we can get off to good starts, especially against this team, it bodes well for us.
All right, a little bit there from Evander Kane. Now the discipline issue. And this was something that we've talked about late in the season. Rob Brown and I talked about it on the Faceoff show, that the Oilers had to be the smarter team. Yes, you got to be aggressive. Yes, you got to hit in the playoffs. Yes, you might take penalties that sometimes are, you know, you're defending or you're trying to deliver a clean hit and you don't. But, you know, we've seen the Oilers and we've seen some good players. And yes, of course, I'm going to bring up the name Leon Draisaitl, take frustration penalties. There are recent examples with Leon specifically, given Drew Doughty the little slash after the Oilers scored a goal in LA in the playoffs last season. The Oilers were getting, you know, steamrolled by Calgary in a game this year, and he took that takedown of Blake Coleman against the Kings in the regular season. Draisaitl got taken down in the corner, and then as he's getting up, slashes a Kings player and evens it up to make it 4-on-4. So, you know, that's one player, but it's got to be everybody doing it. And last night, the Oilers were the more disciplined team. And you look at what the Kings did, Dubois hitting McDavid from behind on a line change. Yes, of course, they want to hit the other team's best player. That's not the best place to do it. Dubois got another penalty in the third period, and certainly the Trevor Moore penalty on Vinny Desharnais, the low bridge, tripping, clipping-type penalty, wherever you want to call it. And yes, Josh Archibald got suspended on a similar, probably a little more vicious play against Winnipeg 3 years ago, but the Oilers kept their heads about them. Kept their heads about them better than the Los Angeles Kings. Here's head coach Chris Knobloch.
Very important, and it's not necessarily easy to do. You get punched in the face, and you know, sometimes referees feel it's enough to call a penalty. Sometimes it's not, and you know, there's sometimes you just have to take them. And sometimes you get rewarded with a power play, sometimes you don't. And I liked our guys' response. And, you know, we want to be sticking up for each other. We want to be have that pack mentality. But it's really important that we're not the ones taking that extra penalty.
All right. And the Oilers certainly weren't last night. And then the Oilers were just awesome on the power play. I mean, absolutely put the game away on the man advantage. And I think that was another big statement in that game, because LA's penalty kill came in second in the NHL, and that was something they thought we got to improve on specifically so we can beat the Oilers in the playoffs. Now, still probably plenty of games for them to do that, or for the PK to have a positive impact, but the Oilers' power play was terrific, and doing some things a little bit differently, positioning players in different parts of the ice, but still the crisp passing, still the puck retrieval, still those brilliant reads off each other, just knowing where another player is going to be, and still Zach Hyman acting like an extension of the goalpost and getting his hat trick goal on the power play in the third period. Here's a little bit more from Knobloch on the power play being able to do well against that Kings penalty kill.
Yeah, we've got some ideas of what they could do to change and add a little more pressure or tighten it up, whatever they plan on doing. And I know Glenn's got a good handle on the power play and what our players need and the amount of information they're going to receive, and also the experience of seeing LA for so many years and knowing exactly what they might do and any little wrinkles they might add to make it a little more difficult for our power play to have success.
All right. So, again, to me, there's not a lot to pick apart from the Oilers game last night. Yes, LA made it somewhat interesting in the second period, and yes, they did have a goal disallowed, which, quite frankly, was flat out the right call. I mean...
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I know sometimes we talk about breaks and luck and bounces in hockey, and that is part of it. But the Oilers weren't lucky that that goal was disallowed. It was clearly the right call. It was clearly a disallowed goal. I mean, Lewis was trying to knock the puck down, and it went in the net off his glove. That's clearly a disallowed goal. That's not, oh, well, the Oilers got a break. Oh, it could have been. No, it's part of the reason, and I know I talked about this with Rob last night, and he didn't agree with me because he said that Lewis wasn't trying to put it in the net. But it doesn't matter. If you're deliberately knocking the puck down, then you got to live with the result of the play, and that is that it went in the net. And when I saw that replay, I thought, okay, they're going to wave it off. And there's another thing that I'm going to ask all of you to remember. That wasn't a coach's challenge. That is the league office, the situation room, the war room, the fantastic ladies sewing club, whatever they call it. That is that group saying, we have to look at this. So right away, if they want to look at it, there's hint number one that they think something is suspicious about the goal. So they are looking for a reason to disallow the goal if it is a league-initiated review. So that right away made me think, like, okay, something's wrong. And then when I was looking at the replays, I'm looking for evidence that something was wrong with the play, because to me, that's what the NHL guys are thinking in that moment. So anyway, I thought they enforced that correctly in that situation. All right, 780-496-0063. I'm happy to hear from you tonight. We will, of course, keep you updated on what's going on in the National Hockey League as well. Oh, Cam Moon is listening tonight. Mooner, give me a call if you want. 780-496-0063. It's Inside Sports on Chet.
Subscribe to the Inside Sports Podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. This is 630 Chad Inside Sports.
Yes. It's 51-50 time. Love walks in. A little ballad action from Eddie Van Halen. I didn't know which one you were going to play, Jeff. I didn't think you were going to go there. You went a little softer.
Oh, I have another one loaded up for later, too, Reed. So don't worry. Don't worry. We'll get there.
Good album.
That is a good album. You know what?
Sammy's first album.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not familiar with that album. Like, I'm a Van Halen fan, but that album, for some reason, I haven't been. But now looking at the track list on it, you know what? I like that album.
Yeah, it's good. You should listen to the whole thing.
I'm going to.
Go home and listen to the whole thing tonight.
Done.
Especially if you have it on vinyl or 8-track. I had it on... Did I have it on cassette and CD? I think I did. I think I still have the CD. I moved about a year ago, and I purged some CDs. I actually donated a bunch to the library. But I kept some CDs that I might have a bit of an emotional attachment to obviously all my Def Leppard CDs. I think most, but I think my Halen and a few other. Anyway, I get so excited listening to 5150. All right, before we go to Jason on the phone line, we got a question or two or similar questions on the text line. Jeff, what
we do. We have a couple people asking the same question. I'm going to go with is this guy's name texting in from Ontario. He wants to know why so many other teams get their local broadcasting crew for the games in the playoffs, but in Edmonton we don't. Jack is on 630 Chat instead.
Well, first of all, and I will answer the question to the best of my knowledge, so I'm not doing a total cop-out by saying this, but I hope you realize I am a radio host and not a programmer for Sportsnet, first of all. So this is not... I know I work on Oilers broadcasts, Sportsnet broadcasts Oilers games, but I have nothing to do with that and limited inside knowledge of what they do. But, first of all, as you've known for the last... 4 years? Mooner's listening. He'll tell me. I think Mooner's done 4 regular seasons now. Jack replaced Kevin Quinn as the regional television voice of the Edmonton Oilers on Sportsnet. When there is a nationally televised Oilers game, then a national play-by-play voice, with a couple exceptions, Jack has done national TV games, but generally a national play-by-play person will do the game. At that point, Jack comes to 630 Ched, and then Mooner is relegated to watching the game with me, which is the worst job of them all. So that's how that happens. And Jack is employed by the Oilers Entertainment Group, as is Mooner. I'm employed by 630 Chet. And Harder Ryan Singh, who often does the Oilers national games, would be a Sportsnet, I guess, Rogers employee. So Harder Ryan is doing the Oilers series. That's what he has been assigned to. Why he specifically got that series, again, I don't know that. Harder Ryan lives in Alberta, so there's probably some ease of travel there and the fact that he does a lot of Oilers games throughout the season. So that's the best I can answer that question, is that the Oilers playoff games are on national television. Harner Ryan gets the assignment for those games. So Jack gets to be on Ched. Mooner will be on Ched, and some of our other Corus properties doing reports and cut-ins and stuff. He'll be on Oilers Plus and Oilers TV and all that kind of stuff. So that's how that plays out to the best that I can explain it. I hope that's okay. Let's go to Jason at 780-496-0063. Jason, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, no problem. I got a question for you that I don't know the answer to. The Vegas Golden Knights thing that everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
Now, I get it. If I could save taxes somehow, I'm going to do whatever I can to save money too. But come next year, are they going to be in a bind? Like, do they have to get rid of a whole bunch of cap so they're not way over the cap? And if they can't get rid of players, are they going to start fire selling players?
You know what? I'm going to have to look up, because I don't know the lengths of all their contracts, Jason, off the top of my head. They will not have Marchessault. Okay, here's the guys who are UFOs. Marchessault, $5 million. Mantha, $2.85 million. Stevenson, $2.75 million. Carrier, $1.4 million. Amadio doesn't make very much. Martinez, $5.25 million. I would assume they would want to keep Marchessault. Now, if they let Mantha and Stevenson go, that's $5 million right there. I guess we'll see what they do with Martinez. That's another $5 million. So if they just let two or three UFAs walk and sign someone much cheaper, then I think they would be fine against the cap. Does that generally answer your question?
But basically, they're not going to be able to trade anybody and get capital out of them because other teams are going
to
look at it and
they'd have to take less.
They'd have to take less money back. You got to get rid of them anyway.
Yeah, they'd have to take less money back. Now, I'm not sure. Oh, I'm doing a lot on the fly here. Their cap hit for next year is $85 million, and the projected. So right now, without those UFAs, they're about $2 million under the cap. So, yeah, they wouldn't be able to keep all of them for what they're making. Yeah.
So, basically, it's a gamble. If they win the cup, great, it paid for it. If it doesn't, they're going to lose some players that they were kind of hoping to keep because of the game they're playing.
Yeah, possibly. Yep. Yeah, I see what you're getting at. Yep. Because they got Hurdle now for another, he signed long term, right? So, yeah, it'd be something if Marshall Show went to market, eh?
Well, I'm just talking like bargain basement pickup players because you can't keep them. Then and a boo boo, we'll take them.
Right. So, right. Will they have to do some kind of trading for prospects or picks? Right. I get what you're saying. Yeah. Thanks, Jason. I appreciate it, man. Good question. All right.
No problem.
That's Jason, 780-496-0063. We will be back after the news with more from you and more chat on the NHL postseason and your Edmonton Oilers.